Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is March 5th, 2000. No, it's April 5th. All right. You know what? I am not editing this show because John finally did it. It only took over 750 episodes, and John finally did it. Okay, so here's the deal. John, before almost every show, tosses out the wrong month, and it's never a problem, and I always rattle off the right month, and today it finally happened.
Except that today he said
April. He said April. And he even told me he was playing a mind game with me, and apparently it worked.
And here we are.
And here we are. Anyhow, so it's actually April 5th, 2017. And wow, I was even looking at my calendar to make sure that I had the right month and day when that popped out of my mouth. Anyhow, so
Jeff Gamet, ladies and gentlemen, broadcasting live from the TARDIS.
Ah, yeah, there you go. So, John Martellaro, how are you?
I'm good. Good morning,
Delighted is how he is.
That I just made your day, I'm sure. Kelly Gamont, how are you?
I'm deeply entertained right now.
Well, I'm glad we could all share this special moment together. You know, I guess it was bound to happen eventually. And seriously, we are up over 750 episodes. I think today might be 752. So, so it was bound to happen eventually. Hey, we have a sponsor today, and that sponsor is Eero, and I will get their information right, even though I can't get the date right today. Or so I say. We'll see. But how about we actually talk some Apple news first? And so, Kelly, are you okay? Are you able to hold yourself in your seat still?
I'm just excited because this will... was actually something I wanted to talk about, and I'm glad we get to talk about it.
And we're talking about it first. Okay, so here's the deal. Yeah. Yesterday, we talked about Apple's really out of character meeting that they did with five different tech writers, where they said, "Hey, we're doing a new Mac Pro, and we totally get that we didn't get it right with the trash can Mac Pro, the cylinder Mac Pro. So we're redesigning. We're going to make a computer for pros, and it's coming out not this year, so probably in 2018. And so we talked about that a lot. What we didn't talk about really was the other thing that, well, one of the other things that Apple announced as part of that, which is that they're going to make a new display. So their Thunderbolt display that they sold forever and just quietly let fade away ended Apple's standalone display business, or so we thought. And then they partnered up with LG for the 5K display that they sell as a great accessory to your Touch Bar MacBook Pro. And now they've decided that they're actually going to make their own display again. And my take on this... is that Apple in a very passive or oblique way is saying, wow, we really screwed up by trusting someone else to make the display that we want to sell with our computers, and we're just going to have to start making displays again.
Let me tell you how I hope this goes. Apple has built great displays in the past that were designed to work with Macintoshes in terms of their cabling, and they didn't make much concession to the industry standard, and so there was always some fussing about whether the display was going to connect to your Mac directly or with an adapter, and it was the hubris was is that you bought a Mac, well, you'll want to run this display. But when you have technical professionals, they have their own favorite displays or specific technical needs. And so what I'm hoping Apple does here is it does a display that isn't tied specifically to a Mac, that is a great display. It's an option to consider. But if you want to connect another display or not the Apple display at all, you have choices. And I hope that's the route they go this time.
It wouldn't surprise me because we have USB-C and Thunderbolt 3. Mm-hmm. And we're seeing displays on the market that take advantage of those of that USB-C style connector. So my guess is Apple's going to stick with something like that. Now, I feel like since Kelly really, really wanted to talk about this, I kind of need to let you talk, Kelly. So what's your take?
Here's the thing is that I sort of felt like everybody yesterday when this actually came out, when Apple went against all that we have believed for lo these many years that Apple holds dear, which is we will tell you when we're good and ready and not a moment sooner. And the only time they ever did sort of pre-announce, as in more than 30 days out, anything, it was the first iPhone 10 years ago. And people were like torches and pitchforks in the streets, you know, at Macworld, like, what do you mean 6 months? Why can't we have one until June? You know, like, even then. So, like, the only time that I can remember that they've tried that recently, more than just, it'll be out in a month or something like that. It really didn't go well. So the thing that fascinated me about this yesterday, me personally, was they came out and sort of admitted that the Mac Pro, which everybody else calls a trash can, and I prefer
wait. Let's get this straight. It is not a trash can. It is a black monolith. Okay, repeat after me.
I prefer to call it R2Q5.
John, Kelly, I like that name. John, a monolith is a big black sleek slab that you can find in the Tycho crater. Also,
slab.
There's one in orbit around Jupiter, and
of course.
And they're scattered around other places.
I'm taking some creative license, of course, but it's not a trash can. Please.
Well, I prefer to call it R2Q5. Well, the black R2 unit from Star Wars.
I'm kind of liking R2Q5. I was thinking about calling it the escape pod.
Also good. So here's the thing that I thought was people were sort of... First of all, people were doing a lot of discussing about... that Apple announced anything at all. Like, this is coming. We promise it's going to be okay. And then people were talking about that they were committed to the Mac Pro, that they actually made some sort of Mac Pro sounding noises. The wave of discussion that happened when we had Apple was like, don't you see how lovely this LG display is? You can buy one at the Apple store. And everybody went, I really thought that the reaction yesterday was going to be, yeah, new Mac Pro. Lots of people don't buy Mac Pros anyway, by and large. I'm not saying there's anything wrong with having one, but that's a certain market. And that market isn't everybody. That's just a fact.
It's
and I'm not saying anything about that market either way.
Mac sales.
Right. Now, it's an important percentage, in my opinion, because I know loads of those people. I am not one of those people. So I can see why people would be interested in that and curious about it, because part of taking the Mac Pro seriously is taking the Mac Pro user seriously. And these are people who never flinched at buying a computer that came in a cheese grater, that came in a cylindrical black R2-esque unit. And for the most part, when people buy those computers, they're not buying like the entry level line of that. They're going BTO and they're putting everything into that sucker that they can, which basically means this is your market segment that says I can have a new computer or I can have a car.
Mm-hmm.
Not a Metro, mind you, like an actual automobile. And
or a Colorado bicycle.
That too, yeah, or a Portland bike. So absolutely, like, these are people that need to be taken seriously, because you know, they are not an insignificant portion of customer, and I'm not trying to imply that, but like the thing that has been killing them with higher end users for a long time is that display, because the Thunderbolt display just sort of sat there and aged. My friend Mike Rose likes to call it benevolent neglect. And that's basically what happened with the Thunderbolt display. We've put it out. It's 27 inches. It doesn't do anything new. Everything else has a different connector now. We're not even going to update the screen. And, you know, when I was in the market for an external display, I ended up not getting an Apple one because I couldn't pay $1,000 for a screen that was, you know, that old, basically, when I could get that same technology in something else. And so my Twitter-sized review of the Dell IPS display I ultimately ended up getting is the only problem I have with it is that sometimes it's hard to see over the pile of money I saved by not buying a Thunderbolt display. Yep. And, you know, I took a little Sharpie to the shiny Dell logo on the front, and you can't really tell anymore. It doesn't have a bezel. It basically has no bezel. It's not very thick. The screen is beautiful. I have zero complaints about my display, aside from the fact that it's not an Apple display. And Jeff, I know you're not using an Apple display either.
No, I don't think any of us are. I'm using an HP display. And
right, and I'm pretty sure Dave and Brian, well, I know they have iMacs, but the rest of the time, I don't think that their external displays are Apple screens.
Correct. Dave bought a 4K display off of Monoprice recently. And yeah, it's I got away from using Apple displays a long time ago because I could get something that was more modern and gave me the same image quality at a lower price.
I wrote a long series about my journey to replace my Apple displays on my Mac Pro. I ended up with the same one you did, Jeff, that C34C. And glorious 34-inch Hewlett-Packard display. 34 inches. It's glorious.
Which should be notable to people in that we are people who are not necessarily edge cases, but we are not uncommon. You know, I know, John, yours is plugged into a Mac Pro. Jeff, I know you plug into a laptop, and I plug into a laptop. And, you know, people... screen, like one of the reasons that I went with the display I went with is because it also had HDMI ports on the back of it, so I can hook up a different cable and basically have two different computers running through this display, and all I have to do is flip inputs. And that was also something I was never going to be able to do with that Thunderbolt display. So I was really excited yesterday to was the only person who picked up.
All right, so
the current Pro or whatever, and that's not, and I didn't think that was the biggest piece of news.
Yeah. All right. So just so everyone knows, the internet is not playing nice with us today. So that's why every now and then a word or two from what Kelly's saying is dropping out. I shake my fist at technology today. Okay. So we need to do the ad. Because I want to talk about something else, but before we do the ad, I'm going to wrap this segment up by saying, I think that Apple's meeting with the tech writers the other day was their way of saying, without directly saying, wow, we really screwed up and lost touch with what it is that our users need from these types of computers, and we want to fix that. And so I'm hoping that's really what happens. I hope we get a killer, amazing Mac Pro next year. And I hope that whatever display Apple releases, it's something that everyone sits back and they're like, okay, that's the display I really, really want. So we'll see. Hey, so our sponsor today is Eero. And Eero, they make Wi-Fi mesh systems. So what that means is that in my place, I have three of their little Eero Wi-Fi base stations set up throughout my place, and they make this wonderful network that's much bigger and more robust and more stable than if I was using just a single Wi-Fi access point. And I love that it was just so simple to set up. All it took was an app on my iPhone, and it took care of everything else. One of the other things that I've really been loving, because I have so much stuff on my Wi-Fi network. I mean, it's just stupid how much stuff is on my network. And I mean, seriously, it is. And in my defense, I have to test a lot of things. And so stuff just ends up on the network. But that's a very weak defense. Anyhow, where I'm going with this is that I love that the way Eero's app for managing the whole network will keep track of all my devices for me. And then I can go in and give them unique names, and it's actually pretty good at figuring out what each thing is. So it adds appropriate icons for each type of device. And then I can give them their own unique names. Like right now, I have three different webcams set up on my network, and they all have ridiculously stupid names like R945J612-993X. And that's completely useless to me. But since I know which each device is, I could go in and give them a unique name. So like one says Canary Camera, and the other says D-Link Camera. And now it's much easier for me to follow along what each device is doing on my network. I can look at data stats for each of my devices, and it's easy for me to tell what's using most of my bandwidth. And I just love,
oh my gosh.
Yeah, it's great. I just love what Eero's done with this setup.
I kind of want to upgrade just for that.
I know.
That sounds
seriously
awesome.
And really, the reason I went with Eero in the first place was that I needed to have a reliable and stable network that covered a much larger area than I was getting with the single base station I was using before. Mm-hmm. And then I got all these other bonus features to go along with it. So here's the deal. Eero, they lowered the prices on their products. So the 3-pack, which used to be $4.99, that's what I have, it's $3.99. And the 2-pack, which was $349, is now $299. So these prices are permanent. It's not a special deal that's going to go away. They've permanently lowered the prices. And I love that because that makes it more economical for everyone, including you, my dear listeners. So head over to their website, Eero.com. That's Eero.com. And you can check out their different whole home Wi-Fi systems, and they're great for businesses too. And you can buy them right there on the Eero website, and you can also pick them up at Best Buy or on Amazon. So thank you, Eero, for being our sponsor. All right, so we're running tight on time. But the other topic that I really wanted to hit before we wrap up is this whole thing about the Broadcom Wi-Fi system on a chip security thing. And it's fixed with iOS 10.3.1. So if you haven't installed that yet, you really need to do it, because this security flaw, it's Broadcom's fault, not Apple's. It's the way that they implemented their chip, and they didn't use good security practices, it sounds like. So what that means is that someone can get into your iPhone or your iOS or your Android device through the Broadcom chip, inject and run code, which means that someone who isn't even on your Wi-Fi network can remotely, as long as they're near enough to pick up your signal, that they can kind of take control of your device, which is really, really scary. So iOS 10.3.1.
That's alarming.
Yeah. Yeah. So the 10.3.1 update fixes that. Install that, people. You need to do it. And before we wrap up, I'm curious, and do either of
if
you...
If you are an Android user or know an Android user, there was an Android update yesterday, I happened to know, because I was... I did a Google podcast yesterday with Andy Nako, and we talked about it a little bit. And I don't know how transparent they are about things like security, stuff like this. So I don't know if that was part of it, but I'd like to think so.
It is.
Because this is a Broadcom chip, it's a wider issue than just I have an iPhone with a chip in it, or I have an iPad with a chip Bennett, this is like loads and loads and loads of phones. And so if you have one, or you know someone who has one, or you go to work and there are lots of people at work with Android devices or whatever, try to get people to update, because this is just a PSA thing. Like, it doesn't matter what you have. The important thing is that you get this fixed, because it could end very poorly for you.
Yeah. And sadly, there are a lot of jerks out in the world that love to take advantage of security flaws like this. And
This one is big enough that they don't even have to be clever jerks. That's the worst part.
Yeah. They just need to be near you, which means that if you're in a coffee shop, and even if you're not on the Wi-Fi network in the coffee shop, someone could still nail you.
It matters not.
If you're sitting at home watching television, some jerk could pull up outside your place and find the Wi-Fi signal from your phone and get in that way. This is just a crappy thing. So I'm glad the updates are out for both iOS and Android. Make sure you get these installed. And this is a really good example, I think, of why Apple is so hell-bent on using their own chips every place they can. Because this is a security flaw that was completely out of their control. I mean, they Broadcom released a chip that didn't address certain security issues. And
how can a company do that in this day and age?
Well,
I mean, it's just inconceivable to me that a company could make a corporate decision like that, even if they think they're going to save money. It's just inconceivable to say, well we're not going to take the best practice.
Well, they knew they weren't taking advantage of security features that were in the ARM processors that they're using for part of this.
Okay. So they had some idea that this may not be the best decision, and yet they chose poorly.
It's hard to believe.
Yeah. Like there's this memory protection feature that's in one of the chips that they're using for their whole package.
Mm-hmm.
And they didn't take advantage of that.
So remember how a minute ago we were telling you about how there are jerks? Because I'm kind of feeling that vibe from Broadcom right now.
Yeah.
Like, we knew this, and we did it anyway.
And now they're saying, hey, we fixed this in the new versions of the chip. And we're
buy our new chips, which don't have this problem. Uh-huh.
Yeah, which doesn't do you any good if you have an iPhone 5, 6, 7. Because these are phones that have been using the chip for years. But they also said that they are considering other security features. So, yay. I mean, I'm glad
executive summary here. If you can afford it, buy a new iPhone every year, because the hardware advances dramatically. And even though Apple comes out with an update a week before, and it seems like a kind of a picayune 10.3.1 a week later kind of an annoyance, do it, because these small upgrades are crucial.
Well, and if I recall, the 10.3.1 update, like the entire description was security features or something. Like that was all it said. It didn't have any other sort of functionality or anything. It was just security updates or something like that.
Was
the entire thing.
Yeah.
Yeah. So particularly when that's all it says, like you should be even faster about upgrading, about launching that upgrade. Primarily because if they're going to talk about it, what they're telling you is we found a problem and we want to make sure you have it fixed before we tell anybody about the problem so that it doesn't actually start happening to people. And I know that sounds kind of crappy, but overall, you tend to be better off when that's the case, as opposed to Apple going out and telling everybody, here's how you hack all of our phones if people don't have this update installed.
I noticed when I did the upgrade, it was different than a full point release, because it didn't walk you through some settings. It just came right back.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, well, a minor upgrade like that, I guess, doesn't require much of a setup, so they just skip that part. So if you're going to skip the setup part, why not just make it an automatic upgrade if it's so small and so important? And just do it, because it's not going to affect app compatibility.
My guess is that Apple prefers to in cases like this, let people feel like there's, I think it creates a level of transparency and trust in users.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Otherwise, it's just like Apple forced this update on me, or Apple put a U2 album on my phone for free. How dare they give me free music? Or, you know, it's my guess is they want to avoid those types of problems.
Right.
Yeah.
I could put a little note in there. Something we just upgraded your phone with an extremely critical class AAA security fix that we thought couldn't go any longer. We gave you a few days. You didn't do it. We did it. And I don't know. I'm just I'm just speculating.
Because people.
Because people.
That's all I got. But again, like, this is an important one to install, and it's not very big, and it doesn't take very long, and I haven't heard anybody complaining about it doing anything weird to their phones. So, including Jeff, who seems to be a magnet for weird update problems, like, it went flawlessly for Jeff, so it should be, like, pretty approved. You know, it's TMO approved.
So get this installed.
Please install it.
And we're out of time. We're like way over time, so we have to wrap up. Kelly, thank you for being here today.
You're welcome, even though it's April.
John, thank you for being here today.
You're very welcome. Dang it. Bye, Kelly.
Bye, John.
Hey, Eero, thank you for being our sponsor today. Head over to their website, Eero.com, Eero.com, and check out their whole home Wi-Fi systems. They're really great. I am so pleased to have mine. And listeners, thank you for being here. We'll see everyone again tomorrow.
March 6th.